Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we are going to continue talking about different aspects of true ministry. And we're going to be talking about ministry and money. And this can be a real touchy subject, but we're just going to put out some ideas and let you think about it. And the whole premise that we always follow is you take anything you hear said here and you take it back to the Lord. You also take any of your own beliefs, any history, anything you hear anywhere, and you take it back to God. He's going to be the one to let you know whether this is something he wants to talk to you about or change your mind or actions about. Not going to be based on something you hear, hopefully hear from somebody else. And when we really start to do that, that's really when things become simple. Very often when we're following our own history, what we've been taught, or we're following a particular establishment or protocol or denominational track, things don't always make sense, but it's safe. It's we can sort of renege on our responsibility, but that's not what God wants. He wants every aspect of our life to be brought into the light so that he can talk to us about it. Now, there's going to be a lot of times when a subject is just not what God wants to talk to you about right now. So if this topic that we're going into, even if it causes you discomfort or you are concerned or upset or angry or whatever, and you take it to him, he may say, don't worry about it right now. There's other things I want to talk to you about. Then you just go with what he wants to talk to you about. So we're just going to dive right in. Ministry and money. Earlier and often we discuss valuing time and attention. That's what our treasure is. What we do with our time and what we do with our attention, what we spend our attention on. God values our time and attention as well and needs them to be able to fully develop our relationship with him. So how we spend our time and attention is the way God builds relationship with us. If we put all our time into things that are important to us and never make time for him, we give all our attention to even serving him, but don't give him our attention, we're not going to have that relationship with him. Now, in line with that, God also values money. Not because he needs it, because we do. And how and when we spend it matters to God. Money itself isn't important to God. But because it's important to us, God greatly and often uses it to accomplish his purposes for us, which again are dependence, healing, and exposing our flesh. So it's not a particular value of money that God uses in our lives to get our attention. It's that we value and need it. Say, if cooking was the most important thing to us, cooking would be what the Lord used to get our attention. So whatever is most important to us, that's what God uses to get our attention. Now, God knows you have financial needs. We all have financial needs and make financial decisions, and a lot of our lives are impacted or even center around finances, money. And this is true regardless of what culture, because money is whatever means we obtain things from others, regardless of the culture. So it's whatever meets our needs, practical needs, that's important to God because it's important to us. Our finances and our financial needs are a primary focus and means by which we control others, control God, and even try to control ourselves. We often see finances as the hub of the wheel. We gauge how we are doing by our financial status. If we're doing well financially, God must be pleased with what we're doing for Him. Our security is also often in our finances. And for most of us, if it came down to selling everything we have and giving the proceeds to the poor as a prerequisite to following the Lord, to having our purpose in Him fulfilled, having a relationship with Him, we would often likely choose to turn and walk away. Now, the Lord knows what needs each of us has, both solically and in the natural. Again, spiritually, you don't have any needs. You're complete and perfect in your spirit. And God has already met every need you have in your soul and in the natural. We just don't know how to appropriate that need being met because we're trying to do it out of our own strength. We're trying to get those needs met rather than let them be met. This, again, goes back to our relationship with God. So God often uses our unmet financial needs to get our attention. And this is a key point to remember as we move forward, that God is much more in tune with our financial needs than we think, but we think that God wants to meet our needs, when in fact He often uses unmet needs to get our attention, to change our direction, to get an opportunity to get our time and attention. One thing to remember is that there is absolutely no correlation between the Lord meeting our needs and our involvement in any kind of ministry. And that includes giving to a ministry. Okay, let me repeat that. There's no correlation between God meeting your needs and your involvement in, quote unquote, serving Him. They're not tied together at all. We don't have to be in full-time ministry or any-time ministry for the Lord to be meeting our financial needs in whatever way He chooses. You don't have to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, serving the right person, supporting the right ministry in order for God to be concerned about your financial needs. He's concerned about your financial needs because you're concerned about your financial needs. The only problem is we think that if He were concerned, He'd meet them. And He often has a different purpose for you having those financial needs. For those who are in ministry, there's often this sense that since I'm in ministry, God is obligated to meet my needs. But just as a reminder, the Lord pays whom He sends, not those who go for themselves or even are sent by others. Just because people are telling you you should be in ministry or you want to be in ministry, that doesn't mean God's sending you. You may feel qualified. Others may say you're qualified. God is the final one who says whether you're qualified or not. If He sends you, and we'll go into this later, if He sends you, He will pay your bills. If you go for yourself, if you send yourself or are sent by others, that's who's responsible for taking care of your financial needs. Now, for those on the receiving end of true life-giving ministry, though the Lord will honor and care for His ministers, that doesn't let you, the receiver of that ministry, off the hook. Again, God's going to take care of the minister that He has sent. But if you have received ministry, it is your responsibility to act, to minister to that minister. That minister could even be a bazillionaire. Remember, you are now a giver. And if you have received ministry, it is part of your new nature to respond in kind, including financially. When you go out to eat, you pay for your food and hopefully throw in a tip as well. Now, you pay the people who serve the food, not the people who grow the food, not the people who ship it, not the people who built the restaurant. You pay the people who serves the food. Everyone else have already been compensated by the people who serve the food. So again, you don't know what all has been involved in getting that ministry to you. And really, it's none of your business. It's if you have been ministered to, if you have received life, it is your responsibility to respond. So we want to look at what our response is in total. When we talk about how God uses our own resources, uses finances to bring us into that relationship that He wants for us. Not what we think, not what we have come up with as a way of trying to get our needs met, or as a way of trying to appropriate resources for ourselves, but instead, what is God's purposes for finances? And this is a touchy subject, and we want to look at why this is so touchy. And we come down to real practicalities. Because every minister has bills to pay, if that minister or ministry has shared what the Lord has given them and you have received it, you are obligated by your giving nature to respond in kind. Regardless of whether you are supporting other ministries, churches, or charitable organizations. Now, this is where we get into being wise. Odds are you receive donation requests for ministry support on a regular basis. Many ask for just a little. There's the oft-used what you would spend on a dinner and a movie donation, for instance. People just want $5 or $10, you know, a small amount. The implication is that giving a little isn't as important as giving a lot. But by the example of the widow's mite, we know this is not God's perspective. The widow gave just a little tiny bit compared to what everybody else was giving. But that's what caught God's attention. As in all things, take each giving opportunity to the Lord. Whether you're considering donating a dime, a dollar, or your entire estate, here's why. If you're giving out $5 here and $10 there without asking God, will it someday be a challenge and a hardship when he says, give $1,000 to this one? For those who are truly hearing from the Lord and sharing that truth responsibly, the funds would be there to meet their needs, freeing them to minister life, giving freely what God has given them. And for those who are ministering out of their own strength, the lack of funds would clearly drive them to the Lord to review his present purpose for them. Let me repeat that. If you wait to hear from God, or at least check with him before giving, even the small amounts, when he says, okay, give a big amount over here, it will be easy for you. And you won't be encouraging ministries with your little amounts that God does not want encouraged. Just because someone is in ministry doesn't mean they should be. And God is the only one. We go back to, did God send them? Or did they send themselves or someone else? One of the reasons there is a lack of present, immediate, applicable truth and power from the Lord, and let's all admit that there is an incredible, unnecessary lack, is because so many of those who know how to depend on the Lord and are willing and able to share what they receive are instead working at secular jobs or in religious organizations just to meet their natural financial obligations. Or they've been have been forced to resort to using secular marketing techniques to support their ministry to meet their obligations, watering down what they have received to gain commercially, almost through manipulation, what was meant to be given gratefully. On the other side of the coin, often those who are assigned by the Lord to be supporting true ministers but have not heard or responded to the Lord are nickeling and diming every passing donation plate or dining without paying for their meal. So again, it's not that God values money that much. It's that we do. And because it's important to us, that's why it's important to him. That's why he wants it, us to be strict about what we do with it. Money talks, but we often confuse what it is saying. Honestly, for most ministers, reliable financial support is interpreted as a sign of God's approval rather than as a reflection of the donator's misguided impulses. So just because that minister was able to part you from your money, that's not necessarily God saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so we can be misleading and not doing that minister any good by misrepresenting God. For instance, when dining out, back to our restaurant illustration, if you sat down for dinner but were served inedible, leftover, or even poisonous food instead of a nutritious meal, you would not only refuse to pay, you would likely leave immediately. Now, if people responded likewise to those ministers, and I speak of ministers in a broad sense, who have sent themselves or who have been sent by someone other than God, the lack of funds and support would make it clear that they need to make adjustments. Instead, people often give inappropriately, not using their discernment, and feeding into the deception that God's blessing is on the ministry. And by ministry, it could be a songwriter, it could be a book writer, it could be anybody, you know, a plumbing company that has the little fish on their ad. Oh, I want to support them because they're a Christian ministry. They're a Christian plumber, so I want to hire them. Now, certainly, having the little fish logo or, say, you know, having a scripture on somebody's ad is no relevance to if they're a good plumber, if they're a good electrician. Doesn't even mean they're a Christian. In fact, at a former church, on the bulletin board, they had to stop just allowing anybody to put up ads because there was a situation where people were coming in, at least in one situation, posted an ad for a roommate that they wanted a Christian roommate. Well, it turns out that the person wanted a Christian roommate because they knew the Christian roommate would behave themselves, but they weren't a Christian, and they didn't want to behave themselves. So just, we want to be aware of, we fall for hype. We fall for symbols, and we are often way too easily manipulated. If we were caught under different circumstances, if it wasn't right after a glorious worship service, that the plate was passed. If the plate was passed as soon as you sat down in your seats, even if it, as you were taking off your coat, I wonder how much less would be put in that plate. Likewise, if it was waited until after the ministry, after the sermon, or any other time, or if it was never passed at all, if you just gave something or not on your way out and nobody ever knew, how would that change what you gave? So we take for granted a lot of the mechanisms by which we give to a church or a ministry. Many years ago, I attended a healing service held by a then-famous healing minister. After the service, I happened to overhear one of those that had been called up to the stage to be prayed for speaking with her husband. This was an older couple, and the minister had prayed for arthritis in her knees, and after prayer told her to run back and forth across the stage. She professed to her husband that she didn't have any... No, she professed to the minister that she didn't have any pain as she did so. And the crowd was very excited, you know, that God had healed her. But in their conversation later, I overheard her husband say he didn't know she had arthritis in her knees. And she admitted she didn't and never had arthritis in her knees. Her husband then asked why she went along with what was being said up on the stage. She replied that she didn't want to embarrass the man of God. Now, this kind of misguided support kept this minister in business for quite a few years, preying on and manipulating crowds all over the world until a staff member exposed his trickery on national television. Now, wouldn't it have been more gracious and responsible for believers that experienced this kind of trickery to have held him accountable much earlier on? When we don't get caught, go farther. And so when we think that God is winking at our manipulation, at our excuses, and there's some great movies out there. There's one with Steve Martin. I can't remember the name of it, but it had a great message, an explanation about how gullible Christians are. And yet, God also meets our needs regardless. And our conclusion is that there are no blanket answers. The supply or lack of financial provision does not automatically infer either God's affirmation or his non-support of a ministry of any kind. Our response, as always, is to rely on the Lord to teach us how to respond to those in ministry, whether to support them or not, whether to make ourselves available, submit ourselves to training, in case the Lord so chooses to give himself through us financially. Now, the point is that as he does this, this may cause a rift in your fellowship. And resign yourself to that as you start looking at what you are doing with your money. You may end up going against the common expectation and even prior commitment. And these are things the Lord wants to talk to you about. You don't have to figure it all out on your own. And you may not even have to make any changes. God just may want you to see this is what's going on. But don't ignore the situation. Don't hide from it because it's difficult. It's important to God because it's important to you. The less important it becomes to you, the easier it is for God to change the direction you're going in. So we're going to pick it up here next week. We've got a ways to go in talking about money and ministry. And if you're, especially if you're feeling you're wanting to go into a ministry, some things to consider ahead of time and really spend time with God about. Likewise, if you're supporting ministries, how to talk to him about that. But we're going to pick that up next week. In the meantime, drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org. You can contact me through Blog Talk Radio. And as always, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.